morning and welcome to Coffee with the Coder for Monday, February the 27th, 2017. We're delighted you've joined us this morning because we've got some great questions to talk about. And this first question, I'm not really sure about the setting, so I'm going to ask Paula that question as well. But we're so happy that you're taking your coffee break with us this morning for Coffee with the Coder. We're going to spend 10 minutes or so answering some really tough questions that have come in. We've had some really great questions coming in, so many that the amount of time it takes to answer them, we won't get through all of them today. But we'll get through at least one or two, and we're excited to share them with you. So let me just start off by welcoming Paula Digby to the call. Good morning, Paula.
Good morning. How are you, Pam?
Wonderful. And so we don't waste any more time. I want to make sure to get right on into the questions and give you all the time you need to answer them. So this first question is the one I'm not sure of the setting, and I'm sure you will. So the question from Char, I'm not sure how to say the name, is how can I help establish a firmer understanding of tamper and neat?
Okay, so our team went out, Pam, and did some research on these acronyms, I guess you would call them, the T-A-M-P-E-R and M-E-A-T. I had not heard anything, and our team had not heard anything about these terms related to, you know, anything published by CMS. So we went out and did a little bit of research and found that basically what they are, and tamper specifically, is, you know, used by a specific company, and it may be proprietary to those companies in the way that they are describing how to determine which diagnosis codes to report. So our ICD-10 guidelines, and before that, the predecessor, the ICD-9 guidelines, said that we are to report conditions that are treated, impact treatment, extend the length of stay, or utilize a resource. So with that said, but bringing into play here all of our challenges that we're having with electronic medical records. What happens is in many situations, the electronic medical records, you know, information appears to be copy and paste, or it appears to be brought forward into the current day's encounter or the current encounter, when it, in fact, it may look like that it is, you know, resolved, but it's still being stated as an active condition. So, and we've heard this before. When we came into the ICD-10 world, you know, we really have to learn to be a little more clinically minded as coders, at least. The MEAT acronym, if you will, M-E-A-T, stands for Monitoring, Evaluating, Assessing, Addressing, and Treatment. And the TAMPER, T-A-M-P-E-R, stands for Treat, Assess, Monitor, Medicate, Plan, Evaluate, or Refer. So it's the same thing as saying, was the condition treated, did it impact treatment, did it extend the length of stay, or did it utilize a resource? It's really trying to give us different thoughts to, you know, we're looking at a diagnosis in the medical record, and we're saying, okay, do we report this condition or do we not report this condition? And again, it's becoming a little bit more challenging because of that, you know, bringing information forward into our current day's encounter when, in fact, we may not see that it's that the condition is actually treated. And then let me make it a little more challenging even, because as coders, we're not allowed to make those clinical decisions. So we have to allow our physician or train our physicians to document the association of the diagnosis to their treatment, or associate the diagnosis to what is happening and why that condition is impactful to the care. So these two acronyms, I would say, are really a way, and I know that maybe it's an acrostic. Pam, I think you were good at puzzles. I think we talked about that in the past, so maybe I'm not quite sure of the wording. Is that correct? Is it an acrostic?
It's an acronym.
And it is an acronym? Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know if there was a puzzle name, official puzzle name for it. But anyway, that's actually what tamper and meet stands for. It's just two different ways to cue it in your memory of what diagnosis codes and ask the questions, were these things occurring, to ask the questions as to whether or not I report this diagnosis or that diagnosis.
Thank you. So it's not a setting. It's every setting.
It's every setting.
I'll note that when I post this call today. Wow, that was great. Now let's hop on into the next question. This one is actually for IRF auditing, for inpatient rehab. And the question comes from Renee, and she says, I'm curious about whether coders are allowed to review the outside medical records that are directly relevant from the immediately preceding charts, like those from the admitting hospital. For example, if there's something significant like acute on chronic respiratory failure with hypercapnia in the discharge diagnoses from the admitting hospital, shouldn't that still be relevant to the IRF discussion of a patient with pneumonia? It wasn't carried over by the attending physician into the PAE, H&P, or PNs in one of these charts, so it wasn't documented. But the patient complains of shortness of breath and has significant lung issues like lung cancer or pleural effusions or whatever throughout the entire rehab. Also of note, the doctor curiously assigns the IGC to 3.8 and attributes the patient's problems to critical illness polyneuropathy, which doesn't really make any sense because the focus of care is on the respiratory issues. And he never mentions the polyneuropathy ever again after the H&P. So the patient has weakness, so it's modified dependent on almost all activities when they're admitted, so not that bad. But that's about it. Am I missing something, or is this a potential finding that could warrant CDI? I can hardly blame the coders for missing codes when the documentation is such a challenge.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Well, let's address a couple of the issues. And Pam, as you were reading the questions, I heard you say PAE. And for those on the line in the call today, the PAE in a rehab setting is a post-admission physician evaluation. Of course, the H&P is the history and physical, and the progress notes, I think PN was referred to as progress notes. Those, the H&P and the PAE are common acronyms used, but PN may not be, so that was for progress note. And CDI is clinical documentation improvement. So just to get everybody up to speed on the question that's being asked. So the answer to the first question is, and the first question I heard you say was, can the coder assign codes based on former acute records or former records that were from a previous stay but that were also housed in the inpatient rehab record? And the answer is no. In the rehab setting, those former records are required by CMS to be a part of the pre-admission package, but they shouldn't be intermingled into the record as though it is consistent and active. What should happen is the pre-admission screen is filled out, and that brings about all the information about why the patient's coming to rehab, what is current existing, and though we're going to report those diagnoses, if the physician then brings them forward into his or her H&P and post-admission physician evaluation and progress notes, if you will, that would be a best practice, to where he or she, the physician, is validating if the condition still exists during the rehab encounter. Now, that said, the etiologic diagnosis may or may not be still existing because it can be the reason that causes the patient to need to be in rehab, but it could be resolved and we're dealing with that residual. However, those comorbid conditions that we report, they should still exist, and we are looking for situations, we're looking for opportunities, if we don't see them, for the physician to document those. And what you've stated on the second part of this question really is, you know, shouldn't, you know, the physician didn't really say a whole lot about the respiratory issue, or excuse me, about the polyneuropathy, but he or she did say, you know, the patient was dealing with, you know, some respiratory issues, but maybe he or she didn't get really clear about the specificity of what currently exists with the respiratory issues. What I see here is there is a clear case for clinical documentation improvement here. There's lots of opportunity for a query in this case. of course, you know, was the focus of care that polyneuropathy? And if it was, you know, the critical illness polyneuropathy, if it was, the physician needed to do a really good job of supporting those deficits and providing the information to prove that the care was provided for that. But it sounds like when you were auditing the chart, you really were seeing all of the care focused on the respiratory issues. So in that case, the case may have been more appropriate, you know, for a either respiratory impairment group or either a debility impairment group, depending on, you know, what's going on with the patient. Unfortunately, I can't answer the entire scenario because I'm not seeing the medical record. But, you know, as far as selecting that impairment group code, you're looking at not only the diagnosis that caused the impairment, but what is the focus of care while the patient is in rehab so that you can get the patient in the right impairment group category.
Thank you, Paula. Very much appreciate that because a lot of times it may be you're seeing things that seem to be opposite as what she's describing in the question, so that's very good to know exactly where to draw the line. Okay, I'm going to have to ask. So thank you, Paula, and thank you, everyone, for attending today. Our next episode of Coffee with Dakota will be 2 weeks from now on March the 13th. We invite you to drop in your questions at aq-iq.com. There's a Coffee with Dakota link where you can drop in any questions that you might have, and we'll be happy to notify you if your question is going to be addressed. Have a wonderful day.